wonderful week this week, and we have tonight and one more day to go with our meeting and our speaker, Brother Buddy Ray. And let me tell you a little bit about him. Buddy Ray and his wife Sherry reside in New Boston, Texas. They've been married for 41 years. They have one son and one grandson. Buddy is a graduate of Henderson State University, class of 1978. He is a retired educator, having coached and taught for 40 years in Northeast Texas and Southwest Arkansas. He began preaching in 2006 and is currently the minister at the DeKalb Church of Christ in DeKalb, Texas, where he also serves as an elder. And so we're very happy to have Brother Buddy Ray with us this week. It's been a tremendous blessing for him to be here. And if you can, and you haven't heard all of these lessons, please get the CDs. And I know you can, because they're free. And all you have to do is put your name on the list, and we will get them to you. And so these CDs have some tremendous material on them, very encouraging, very fine words, very good information for us in the times that we live in today. And all of Brother Ray's sermons have been very relevant to our world around us today. And they also show what a great spirit that he has, because in every single lesson, you could tell that he really does enjoy teaching and preaching God's word. And we're so thankful for that. So without further ado then, Brother Buddy Ray.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Ooh, another great crowd. Good Tuesday night crowd. That's encouraging for me. I want to encourage the local congregation. You know, as an elder in DeKalb, when we plan meetings, you always worry about Wednesday night. The surrounding congregations can't be there. Well, you know, this depends on us. That's what we always say. Well, I'm going to tell you, from what I've seen of the New Boston congregation, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, there's going to be a great crowd tomorrow night. I encourage you to come. And Wednesday nights are always my least favorite night of gospel meetings, because that's normally the last night. And the week goes by quickly, but I've been encouraged, and I can assure everyone in New Boston this. And I told one last night, replying to what Kevin just said, it has been a greater blessing for me and Sherry to have been here than it is for you, I'll promise you. We're blessed to be here and to get to do this, and we thank you once again for the opportunity. I want to remind you as we start tonight, if you haven't been here, we've begun each lesson with a couple of scriptures to give us some thought as we listen to God's word and as we offer the Lord's invitation, and as you think about your heart being right with God. I call your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, as we have each night. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It's an appointment I'm not going to escape. There I'm going to receive the things that I have done in this body according to what I have done, whether they be good or bad. I'm going to appear before my God and before the judgment seat of Christ. And each night we've said, in correlation with that, to think about Matthew 16:26. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses his own soul? And as we've said, Christ rephrased that in this way. What will you give in exchange for your soul? I know there are many, many faithful people here tonight. You can tell, as I said last night, I see for the fourth time in a row now many familiar faces. One more night and you've got perfect attendance. But we are so glad you're here. But if you are struggling, if anything is not right with you, you and your God know that. And there's no better time to make that right than tonight. Don't let an opportunity leave to make things right with your God. Tonight, you see, I just titled it Right with God, but we're actually going to talk about the heart. Is your heart right with God? The last Wednesday night of February, I was sitting in my recliner doing some reading. We were having Wednesday night service, Wednesday night Bible class, and I was getting ready to go to that. A little bit after 4 o'clock, Sherry walked into the living room, and I could tell by the look on her face something was wrong. And she said, "I feel exactly like I did the night I had my heart attack." And in the same breath, we both said, "Let's go." We loaded in the car. We headed to Texarkana, and we had not driven very far till she began to feel a little bit better. And she said, "I really don't think this is my heart. Maybe it's just something else." But we both agreed this. And this is what I want to introduce with tonight, and I want you to think about. We both looked at one another and we said, "We are not taking a chance with this being heart trouble." I want you to think about that. If your heart's not right with God, don't take a chance. You could say, "Oh, it's something else, it's something causing this pain." But we drove to Texarkana, and thankfully, it wasn't her heart. But I want to tell you, when we thought that that old physical heart might be going out or something might be going wrong with that, we made haste. We made haste to get somewhere, to get to someone that could take care of that, that knew what they were doing about heart trouble and could handle that in such a way that everything would be all right. Tonight, I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. And we need to do this tonight, each and every one of us, and I'm including myself. The Apostle Paul says, "Examine yourself." I want you to do that tonight. I want you to take an honest, introspective look at yourself. He said, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith." You see, as serious as physical heart trouble is, spiritual heart trouble becomes even a greater problem. Physical heart trouble can take my life, but spiritual heart trouble, uncorrected and not going to the one who can cure it, can take my soul. That's what we need to think about tonight. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. He continues and he says, "Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified." Only you and only me can give an honest answer for ourselves. Is Jesus Christ in you tonight? Is your heart all right with God? Are you doing those things that draw you closer to your Savior and Lord each and every day? Are you looking into the book and looking to His commands and following those things that He has given us? He gives us what I call a warning in Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 and following. We said last night that we can look at the exterior of a person and believe that everything is okay, and inside things can be totally disrupted. The same is true with the heart. We need to make certain that what we're saying and what we are doing matches up with where our heart is. Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 and following, as Jesus is teaching, he says these words, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying this, 'These people draw near unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips.'" If your Bible is open to that passage, look at the next writing. "But their heart is far from me." See, sometimes heart trouble is not easy to detect from the exterior. It's not easy for me to stand in the pulpit and look out and say, this one have heart trouble. That's where I examine myself. That's where I test myself. But I want to tell you, I got to make sure that my heart matches with my mouth, is what he's saying. These people are worshiping me. They're speaking good things with their lips. They're honoring me with the things they say, yet their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Right, Chris? You see, some of us had a discussion today as to what men say is not nearly as important as what God says. And that's where we need to start tonight with our heart. And we're going to get a little bit deeper into what comes out of the mouth, comes out of the heart in a few minutes. But I want to tell you, what's that old adage? Are you practicing what you're preaching? Because we're all preachers. We may not all be standing in a pulpit or teaching a Bible class or doing that, but we're all living a life wearing the name of Christ, serving Him, and we become preachers as we teach by example. So we need to know, are we practicing what we preach? Let's don't be guilty of only honoring Him with our lips or our voice or with the things we say, but let's make certain that we align our heart with what we're saying. Make sure that each time we worship our God, it's not in vain, that we worship Him truly as He taught us in John chapter 4 in spirit and in truth, and make certain we're giving Him the best of our first fruits and everything we have to offer. That Wednesday night, as we sat in that emergency center, the doctor came in, and I want to tell you, he left no question unasked. And as I sat and I listened to him, he wanted to gain every bit of information he could about what was going on with her, or what the symptoms were, or what was happening that may be causing her pain, that may be causing her to believe she's having a heart attack. And I want to tell you, he was very thorough. And as he looked at the answers to those questions and began to run tests, he had a really good grip on what was happening. Now tonight, I want to pose 7 questions to you about your spiritual heart. And I want you to answer them honestly. If God were asking you those questions tonight, and He was writing down each answer to determine if it's your heart that is right or your heart is not right, be honest with yourself. Question number 1 is this: do you really love God? You say, what a strange question to ask a group of committed Christians that are sitting in a pew on Tuesday night at a gospel meeting. But he asks us this question: do you really love me? Mark chapter 12, verse 30. You can quote it when I start. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your soul. Every fiber of being you have, he said, this is the first commandment. Love me. Love the Lord your God with everything you have, heart, strength, soul, mind. Ask yourself sincerely and reach down and look into your heart. Look into your day-to-day life, to everything that you believe in, everything that you're doing, every step you're taking. And answer question number 1. Do you really love your God? You see, that's where a genuine heart begins. That's where a life of service begins. You look around on the pew tonight. I want you to see someone you love. Might be a spouse, might be a child, might be a grandchild, might just be a brother or sister in Christ. How much do you love them? What if they posed the question to you, do you really love me? See, explaining something about love is not nearly as effective as showing. And that's what God asked me to do. Love me with everything you've got, buddy, and show me. I often say in DeKalb, and we've got some DeKalb members here tonight, and we're glad to see them. Am I the same person at 2:30 Tuesday afternoon on the job that I am at 10:30 Sunday morning? You see, that's what God's saying to me. Do you really love me with every part of your being? If you go to John chapter 14, verse 15, he makes a statement there that sums it all up and that can really test your heart. Jesus simply says to his disciples, and he says to us today, if you love me, keep my commandments. That pretty much sums up the whole thing, doesn't it? He says also that they will know that you are my disciples when you love one another. You see, that love for God is going to trickle down into the second commandment that he says to love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the key to all of it, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, as the Apostle Paul closes out that chapter. Now abide faith, hope, and charity, if you've got King James Version, and love, if you're reading another version. And the greatest of these is love. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John that God is love. And as I said last night, we love him because he first loved us. So I ask you to answer question number one, honestly. There's the starting point. If you're going to serve him, you got to love him. Because if you're serving him and you love him, you're going to keep his commandments. And the world's going to see that. And the DeKalb people, I won't call a name, but they may know who I'm talking about. But we had a man tell us. Began attending in DeKalb and became very faithful. And he said, the reason I continued to come was because of what I saw in the people. That's a testimony to those folks that were there in the pews. They welcome this person. They welcome all new people that come in. And he said, I figured out that everything you were doing was by the book, but the people, you see, love is the greatest thing there is. The greatest of these is love. Start with that love of God in your heart. Give him the best of the first fruits. Give him everything you have, bear fruit for him, and you'll find out everything else follows right in line. Question number two is this. Are you reflecting God in your heart? You know, when you have heart trouble physically, they're going to do some kind of test where they can see that heart. Maybe a sonogram, ultrasound. Maybe a dye test. Maybe a heart cath. But they're going to take a look at that heart. And they're going to stick that picture up to a light. And somebody's going to look at it and going to say, ah, here's what's in your heart. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 19. The writer says, as in water, face reflects face. So a man's heart reveals the man. You ever looked into an old clear stream, into a pond, into the creek? You look down there on a beautiful day and your face reflects off of that water and you can see your face as you're standing and looking in there. The writer of Proverbs said, just as that water takes that face to face and reflects it. He said, so a man's heart reveals the man. What's inside is what counts. You know, we don't look at the outside. We're going to look at the inside. We're going to look at the fiber that makes up that man or that woman, at the inner being. And he says, just as that, your heart's going to reveal who you are. What are you reflecting? What do people see if they could look into your heart? What does God see? Because certainly he looks into our heart. Do you really love your God? What are you reflecting in your heart when people look at you? Question number three that might be asked of your spiritual heart is this. Are you trusting in your own heart? You know, Proverbs chapter 3 tells me not to trust, you know, to lean on my own understanding. Put all my trust in the Lord. If you look at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Man. Don't put all your faith in your own self. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in man. Don't put your faith there. Don't trust in your own heart. Sometimes your heart deceives you. Sometimes your heart lets you down. Look to God. He said, walk wisely. New Testament writer says, that we're to walk circumspectly. We're to walk wisely. We're not to walk as fools. We're to redeem the time. We're to do all we can in this fleeting world to make sure that our hearts aligned and that we're walking in the way we should walk. You know, so many times in this life we might say, the only person I can really count on is me. When it gets right down to it, we need to be careful about that, because sometimes we can't count on what our heart tells us if it's not aligned with God. Psalms 37 verses 3 and 4 says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Verse 4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. You see, that's the way it works. If I'm following God and I'm delighting in Him and I'm doing His will, then He's going to look down on me and He's going to bless me as He so richly does, and He's going to give me the desires of my heart. We get that backwards also, don't we? Yeah. Here's what I want. When I want it, the way I want it. We so often in our Bible class refer to this world as the microwave world. We've gotten so used to going home. I did it today. What's for lunch? Well, let's dig through the refrigerator here. It won't take but a minute and 30 seconds, however big it is or however much it is. A minute and 30 seconds, we're ready to eat. I like that at noon. But I want you to think about that. So many people, sadly, take that to their heart in religion, in their service to God. I got a minute and 30 seconds, Lord. Let me see if I can get this heart heated up. Let me see if I can press a button when the bell goes off, timer's done, everything's right. You know, that minute and 30 seconds it took to heat that soup, it didn't take me much longer to eat it, and I was on to the next thing. And that's the way we get to. Life's so fleeting, and it says here, delight yourself in the Lord. I told Sherry today, and she'll verify this, and we had a long discussion after I said it. I said, if I don't accomplish anything else the rest of my life, I'm telling you right now, I was kind of in a tiz, whatever we call it back in Arkansas. I said, I'm about to slow my life down. You know, you go to Walmart and you get in the express line, and invariably it says, only come through here if you got 20 items, and you get behind the guy that's got 26. He keeps laying them out there. And you know, I've already told you about my technology skill. Now Sherry pulls on my shirt and says, well, let's go over here to self-check. No, I don't want to do that. And it takes about that minute and 30 seconds we talked about to get everything out of sync. Unfortunately, that's the way it becomes sometimes with our God. But He said, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. We talked Sunday night about priorities, about where they are. Where are you placing them? But that's what I've said today. I'm going to slow this old life down. Enjoy some things. What do we say? Take time to smell the roses. But many, many times we get caught up in the rushing, non-caring world, and we let that sweep us away like a rolling river. Delight in the Lord. Don't trust in yourself. Delight in Him and let Him give you all that you desire. Question number 4 is this. Is your heart filled with good? If you had to describe your heart tonight, what would you write? Someone said, buddy, what's in your heart? Tell us the honest truth. What would you write? Psalms 45, verse 1 says, my heart is overflowing with a good thing. My heart's overflowing with a good theme. I want to tell you, not just because of this gospel meeting, but I told you last night some other things that have happened, and I was talking to Kevin earlier tonight. This has been a good week. I'd even classify it as a great week. The things that have happened during the day, the things of the gospel meeting, just things in life. You know, tomorrow night I'll be real excited. I told you, I used to think about people doing this and I didn't think I'd ever be one of those. But you know, late tomorrow night, our son and our grandson are coming in for a few days. Those things about the ones you love excite you. They excite you, and that's the way we're to be with our God. Let it be overflowing with a good thing. Let that good fill my heart. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. You know this verse, and it's one that we need to use in the right way. But those things which proceed out of your mouth, they come from the heart. And if they're not good, they can defile a man. That's the things that we look at and the things that we need to align, as we said earlier, based on Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 and 8 and 9. You know, those things that I say are coming from my heart. That's what's in my heart. That's what's in there. And I'm letting come out. Make sure they're good. Make sure they're filled with good things. And that's the way this week has been. The things I've been blessed to be around and the people I've been blessed to be with each and every day and each and every night, you can tell it's good hearts, good people, and good things. Every opportunity we have to come together as the Lord's people and to worship Him, those are good things, and those are blessings that we can receive. I told Kevin to feel free any night, or whoever's leading singing, sing a couple of extra. Hadn't the singing been great? Amen. Amen. And we're told to use that singing to encourage and exhort. You see? That lifts one another up. It's been beautiful. The good coming from the heart of Christian people. Make sure that your heart is filled with good. Question number five that you might be asked is this. And it comes from the Beatitudes. Are you pure in heart? Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. As Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount, and He is giving us what's called the Beatitudes, He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Heart pure? Philippians 4, 8. We used 6 and 7 last night, but verse 8 follows that. After the peace of God that passes all understanding is going to guard our hearts and our minds. He said, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, if there's things of good report, things of virtue, things that are praiseworthy, if there's any of those things," He said, "meditate." Don't just run them through your mind and your heart. Don't just read it and see it. But He said, all those things that are pure, lovely, just, noble, good report, praiseworthy, all of those things, meditate on them. Fill your heart with those pure thoughts and with those things that produce that good and make those good things come from your mouth. You know, as you sit and think tonight, these are things that we've all heard over and over. There's things that we've read for ourselves. And I want to caution us to do just like we talked about our blessing Sunday night. Don't take the things that we do in service to our Lord and pleasing Him, don't take them for granted either. What a blessing it is to be called a child of God. What a blessing it is to be an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We shouldn't take that lightly. That good heart, that pure heart, should lead us to every day thank our God for another day of life and another opportunity to serve Him. Are you pure in heart? Question number six that might be asked is this. If you go to Acts chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, you find the story of Ananias and Sapphira as they sold a parcel of land. And as they came to the apostles and they laid the money at their feet, They held some back. You know, their trouble was lying. And in verse 3 of Acts chapter 5, Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? Why has he filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to hold back part of the price of the land for yourself?" Question number 6 that we might be asked about our heart is this: have you allowed Satan to fill your heart? Peter said, that's our worst enemy. That's our adversary. He walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour. In the story of Job, when God and Satan are speaking and he said, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm just going to and fro." You see, he's passing back and forth. He's got the world. They're already his. He's reaching for us. That's the scary part of Satan. He's got his followers that are already his. But he's reaching for the Lord's people. And that question that was asked to Ananias, we might ask ourselves, why? If you have trouble and you begin to slip away or your faith may wane or something happened, you know the old devil's working on you, we can ask, why have you allowed Satan to fill your heart? We've got to guard our hearts. We've got to guard our hearts through that peace of God that he gives us as we let our requests be made known to him. What a question that Peter asked to one who was holding back, one who was lying. And Peter said he lied to the Holy Spirit. Question number 7, and the final question might be asked this tonight. And it's one that all questions that we brought tonight are certainly relevant, but this one needs to be one that we seriously answer, because as was mentioned in the prayer by Brother Dean, so many things have gone on in this life, so many troubles that people have that we may not know about, or we may not see, or we may be unaware, or even troubles our own. Our God might ask us tonight, is your heart troubled? After all these other questions about, is it filled with good? Is your heart pure? Do you love your God? All those things we've asked, he's asking me, is your heart troubled? He said in John chapter 14, verse 1, very familiar passage, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." You see, when physical ailments of the heart come to us, we seek out a doctor. When spiritual ailments of the heart come to me, do I seek the great physician? The great physician. The one that can cure all of our ailments, the ones that can cure all of our ills, certainly the one that can cure heart trouble. If your heart's troubled tonight, are you turning to him? Where are you going to help a troubled heart? Where are you going if your heart's not right with God to get it fixed? In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19, 20, and 21, you know these verses. Once again, Jesus is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, and he tells me not to lay up for myself treasures on earth. And here's why he says, because moth and dust destroy, and thieves break in and steal. You see, anything I've got here on this earth is susceptible to thieves, is susceptible to ruin and to rust and to going away. It's going to perish. He says, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, nor thieves break in and steal. And look at verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if you want to locate your heart, Jesus said, find where you're putting your treasure, find where you're placing all your priorities, find what you're making most important in your life, and you'll see where your heart is. Where is your heart tonight? To answer that, you've got to answer, where's your treasure? Am I basing everything on what I might be stockpiling here on this earth, or the things I might have around me on this earth, or am I laying up for myself treasures in heaven? That's what's going to make it all worthwhile. I asked Kevin to lead the first song that he did tonight. It's one of my favorite songs for several reasons, but we sang about the Paradise Valley, where the tree of life is, where all those good things are, and that's where we'll enjoy eternity because we've laid up our treasures in heaven. I want to close tonight before we offer the Lord's invitation. I want to ask you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. I want to read verses 12 and 13. And I want us to think about them. And as we sing our invitation song and we ask, is thy heart right with God? Think about the one who can truly answer that question here tonight is you. But the one that answers that question for all of us is our God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful, and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow. The greatest weapon there is, the most powerful thing there is, the Word of God. Sharper than any two-edged sword, it pierces the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow. Now look at what he said, the Hebrew writer says next, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of what? Of the heart. Right. You see, this word, the powerful Word of God that can pierce so greatly, is a discerner. It knows the thoughts and the intents that are in my heart. My God knows tonight where I stand with Him, and I know where I stand with Him. Verse 13 is one that we normally don't follow up verse 12 with, but I want you to see also how God sees us. And there is no creature hidden from His sight. We've got away probably with several things in our life, with parents when we were young or whatever, or some things they may not have known, or some things that slid by or whatever. But it says here, and there is no creature hidden from His sight. Look at the rest of that verse. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him, to Him we must give account. I can get away with hiding my heart from you. You don't know me that well, other than living in New Boston, being here this week, maybe seeing me in Walmart or just talking or visiting some. We know each other better than others. But you know, I can still hide things from you. You can hide things from me, or even from those closest to us, we can. But brethren, says here, we're in the eyes of the one that sees everything. My heart lies naked and open before my God. And I'm going to give an account for what's in our heart. Now here's the beautiful thing. When that doctor sees something wrong with my heart, he knows what to do to fix it. But I have to come to him. I can't let him tell me what to do to fix my physical heart, and then I never go back to him, or I never allow him to do what he knows works. Let's don't be that way. with our God if we're not right with Him. As I said, He's the great physician. He knows what needs to be done. There's no heart trouble. There's no any other kind of trouble that He can't heal. But I have to go to Him. I have to draw nigh unto Him so that He will draw nigh unto me. Is your heart troubled tonight? Do you have symptoms of heart trouble? Are you serving your God faithfully? Is your heart right with God? As we sang Sunday night or Monday night, and we've said almost every night, is it well with your soul? Can you truly say, it is well with my soul? This life becomes a hard battle many days. We've got a great God beside us, leading us through and showing us the way, and He wants to heal all of your troubles and to make things right in your life, if you will allow Him to do that tonight. If in any way you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, you need to make anything right with your God, He invites you to come as we stand in heaven, leads our invitation songs.